Amen. Amen. Well, good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. We're going to open up our hymnals up to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, if you'd like to do that. Did I do that again? It's my thing I do every time I come up here. I always say that. Open up your hymnals. Open up your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I do that every single time. James chapter 3. Open up our Bibles to James chapter 3. As we are going to be looking at communicating God's way, part one, there's actually 10 different points I'm going to look at. We're going to go through the first four this evening. It's a message that I was very convicted about that I did with the teenagers, and it was really spoke to my heart. As we're looking at communicating God's way, obviously, this staging is not for my behalf, for me speaking. This is all for our drama for tomorrow night and Friday night, which we'll hear more about later on. But they did a great job with our staging. So if you have not purchased tickets, I recommend that tonight, the last night, that you be able to pick up some tickets for our drama on a Thursday night and Friday night. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the service. Communicating, from James, communicating. You know, we live in a day right now where communication is just done at the spur of the moment. We can communicate better now than we've ever been able to on the face of this earth at this moment in life. I mean, I can go back probably 20 years and look back about 20 years ago and the fact that we never had anything like internet, the opportunities that we have right now in technology. You know, at this point, we can communicate around this world in a matter of moments. Seconds. I can communicate around this world. You know what? Actually, at this very moment, we are communicating around this world with technology and the fact that this is right now being broadcast on the internet. Amen. This service itself, live right now. We are anytime, anywhere, people can be listening to this service. Pastor, if you're listening to this service, we love you and miss you. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. So know the fact that this is going all around the world, that people can be listening to this. That's our life right now in communication. No matter what it is, you can come to it, whether it be texting, emailing. You can do this right now at the spur of the moment. Well, what is different type of communication? What are some of the different type of communications we have? Well, we're doing it right now, something you've been doing it all day, verbally. We can communicate verbally. That's one way we communicate, speaking. Non-verbally. I mean, if I step here and just simply went like this, everyone would know what that meant, that be quiet. If I sat there and went like this, most likely most people understand to stand up, sit down. We can communicate non-verbally in many different ways. Writing, we can write notes. Of course, that's kind of going old hat now, is writing notes. Now we'll end up texting. We'll email. We do any shorthand when I text and email. We'll do all that type of stuff. Obviously, we have different type of communication when it comes to the area of putting up your own type of a profile in the area of Facebook or MySpaces or things like that. There are so many different avenues that we have in our world right now to communicate to one another. Let me just read to you some ideas of some communications and the importance of communicating accurately. The following is a series of actual quotes taken from insurance or accident forms. They are the actual words of people who tried to summarize their encounters with trouble. Most of these would be with car accidents. Says here, I thought my window was down, but I found it was up when I put my hand through it. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. These are true, actual ones they found on the forums. The last one, this one I really like, it says, I was on the way to the doctor's with rear end trouble when my universal joint gave away, causing me to have an accident. So, obviously, how we communicate is also very important, that we communicate accurately. Because we can communicate in a way that we may be sorry. Well, One way of communication is Brother Neil came up here and said, by the way, let me communicate something. A letter went out and the dates really for the Camp Liberty is this date. So the communication came across. He said, this was not the communication that I want. This is the communication that we need to get out there. So we can always communicate some things that are in a wrong fashion. But we're going to take a look at how we're supposed to communicate God's way and the importance of communication. It hit home with me as you start reading. Well, this always hits home when I read this. The book of James always hits home to me. But this is really very, very important. Before we get into it, let's pray and ask the Lord to work. Father, I do thank you again for this night. And I thank you, Father, for an opportunity to look into your word a little more in depth in the area of communication, Father, and how we communicate with one another and how we're supposed to communicate with you. I pray, Father, that you'd work now through the services and that we'd honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take a look. In James chapter 3, we're starting in verse 2. As we look at the area of communication, it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they are be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now, I always found that to be kind of interesting when I got to that part. Now, the horse, I can really see that. I've been on a horse, and I understand the bridle, and to be able to take it and steer a horse. And you think, well, that's a pretty big animal to be able to steer a horse with the bridle. But, you know, when you talk about a ship, and I remember watching this, and I kind of went on the internet to look for this, because I remember seeing a documentary on the Titanic. Got a picture of the Titanic, hopefully this Titanic. I looked at that thing, and I remember seeing a documentary, and I said, man, you know what? And you know what? Nowadays, that's not really a large ship. At that point, it was a very large ship. But that's a pretty big ship we have there. But then the next picture here shows actually the picture of the rudder and what controls that massive ship. You got just that little back end there, the little rudder there, as they steer that thing that just steers that whole thing back and forth and that back into that ship. If we can go back, Caleb, to the first picture again, is the fact that that little rudder in the back that will steer that entire ship. And I always think that's pretty fascinating when you think about it. And I obviously, as a point that James brought up actually in the word here is about that. And they didn't have ships obviously like this, but how important it is about a large ship being controlled by that. Well, why is that so important? Because in verse 5, he kind of puts it into contents here. In verse 5, he says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a man or a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Is that an amazing thing? We cannot tame our tongue. We can tame all these things. We can even make a boat and steer it off of a little rudder, but we cannot do anything about our tongues and the importance of that. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our tongue, obviously, can do an awful lot in our body. Here we are, a huge body and this little thing as a tongue can do great things, but can also do some pretty horrible things. And as it says here, that ought not to be so. We shouldn't be looking at it that way. Our mouth should not be doing blessings and cursings, but yet that's the case. I like this. I've read this somewhere where it says, the tongue is the only instrument that gets sharper with use. Think about that. The tongue is the only instrument that gets sharper with use. Now, that's a sad thing, but that's true. We can get into that habit. You know what's so sad is we can get in the habit of being able to speak and to do things, and we get in there, maybe a habit of maybe saying some things that we shouldn't. And we find ourselves falling into that, where next thing you know, that seems to be all we do is say things that we shouldn't be saying. maybe kind of cutting here and cutting there. And that's a dangerous thing. The power of words is amazing. The power of words is amazing. Now, by the way, there are notes for this. If you haven't got them, they're around somewhere, but we do have notes. The power of words is amazing. Let me just tell you an example about how powerful words are by something that happened with me. I had a neighbor. We had a neighbor. If you don't have notes, you can put your hands up and have them back here. But I had a neighbor. There's some over here. And over here, I had a neighbor. I'd say it was probably about 10 years ago. No longer my neighbor. But he came up to me very excited and saying, look what I got. Now, I didn't know him that well. You know, he was a neighbor, and we were fairly new. I mean, we bought this house new. He bought the house new. So I didn't really know him that well. And he came up and goes, look at what I bought. And he bought a gun. And he was showing me his pistol that he bought. I'm not a great one for guns. I don't know. I think it was, a 9mm. But he had a gun, and he was showing me. He actually told me about the fact of how he went to Walmart with his gun and how much attention it drew. I bet it did, as he had that on. And he was just talking to me about his gun, and he showed me the gun and everything. And one of the things that the gun had is it had one of these little red little lasers on it like that. You know, and I can remember him showing me that. He goes, yeah, that way I can, see what I'm, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And it must have been a week later or so. At that point, my job required me to get up very early. And I remember getting up, and it was probably about 5 in the morning or something, 5:30. And I remember going outside and getting my newspaper. And the sun was just getting up. You know where it's that red glow. You know, you can kind of see the outline of the houses and stuff, but it's still pretty dark. So I'm out there, and I'm getting my paper. And as I'm getting my paper, I see this little red line. And it starts coming down. I'm watching it, and it goes right to my paper. So I go down to get the paper, and I see this red thing. Well, of course, I'm thinking, what in the world? And I look, and it's my neighbor. And all I see is this dark silhouette, and he's got his gun pointed out at my newspaper like that as I was bending down to get it. Now, let's just stop right there. At that moment, as I was bending down, and I went to get my paper, and I see that. Now, I'm not thinking this is my neighbor. I'm not thinking I know this man. I'm thinking there's this little red thing on here, and I see a guy with a gun like this. And I can tell you, my heart was about ready to come out of my chest. I'm sitting there going, huh, as he went there. Well, then he starts to laugh. Now, that didn't give me comfort yet either. Now, I mean, he started laughing, but I didn't know what kind of laugh that meant. I don't know, but he started laughing. And he was a little bit on the different side. And so I wasn't really sure. And then he walked up to me. Now, I'm still not feeling really good about it. And I kind of had the paper, yeah, that's kind of funny, thinking, what are you doing? And he came up, and obviously he just sat there and wanted to play a joke. It wasn't a funny joke. And I really wasn't enjoying that joke. But it will go along very well with what I'm talking about. Also, I can say, when I was about 10 or 12 years old, I had another situation similar to that, where we lived in Wisconsin, and one of my neighbors had a very large yard, about an acre or so. That's large compared to here. Had about an acre lot, and the house was on a hill, and it went way down low and way at the end, easily at the end of the yard, probably at least 3/4 of an acre. He was there. I had some friends at the end, down the hill, way down, and behind that was open field, and so we lived in a real open area. Well, we had bow and arrows. And so it was my turn. And so I was up by the house, and I would take the bow. Now, it was just the normal metal tip. It wasn't like the hunting, arrow that would slice through metal. It was just a little metal tip. So I remember taking that thing, and we'd go like this. Now, they were at it. Now, listen, I wasn't aiming. I mean, they were down there to get the arrow. That's what they were there for. They would run and get the arrow because, it was going to go to the field. Well, I pulled it back, and I went and let it go. Well, I'm not a mathematician or anything at that point, 10 or 12, but I'm watching the arrow go up, and it was one of these things. Arrow, people. Arrow, people. Arrow, oh my. And I realized this was going to be dangerous as I watched the arrow go up and come down. And I'm thinking, this isn't looking good, and it hit my best friend right in the ankle. As he sat there and watched it too come, I'm thinking, get out of the way. And it was the same thing. Hit his ankle, bounced, and fell off. But the thing is, he fell to the ground. And there it was. He sat there and punctured his ankle. Now, at that moment, heart's pounding. Heart's going. I'm going, oh, man, that's just, you know, I'm thinking I killed a person. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the arrow's coming, I'm killing a person. Now, why is this so important? Because if you take a moment and go to your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah, this is very important. If you go to your Bibles to Jeremiah, about our words, Jeremiah chapter 9. Now, they also, in here, tie the tongue to an arrow. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he lieth in wait. It's compared, your tongue is compared to shooting an arrow. The dangers of that. The dangers of an arrow. I'll tell you what, when I saw that gun pointed, I'm telling you what, I'm thinking, this isn't a pleasant thing. When I shot that arrow, I'm thinking, this is a deadly instrument that's being shot out. It's being compared, our tongue is being compared to an arrow. Do you realize that back at this time when this was written, an arrow was probably considered one of the most powerful weapons that they had. They didn't have a gun back then. A bow and arrow, that would have been a mighty thing. Just to have an arrow, that was a big deal. And he compares the tongue to an arrow, which shows the impact that our tongue has. And when we communicate, it's like an arrow. These are strong weapons that's being compared to here. Now, they can be used for good and it can be used for bad. If I had a gun, if I had an arrow, I could use it for positive things. I can protect my home. You can hunt with those things. I mean, you know, there are some good things you can do with those, but they also are some bad things and some dangerous things, obviously, in our society with using those type of things. Same for our tongues. Our tongues can be used for good, and our tongues can be used for bad. And we have to be aware that that's the situation. See, one day we will give an account for every word that we say. In Matthew 12:36, it actually says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment." Every word that is spoken, we shall give an account for. Now, I remember pastors saying this, and I looked it up, and it's true. They say the average man speaks about 10,000 words a day. Now, this was used for basically talking about how we should communicate with our wives. But a man will speak about 10,000 words a day, where a woman will speak over twice as many as that. Now, I just kind of calculated that and figured out that if an average person would live 70 years, then a man would speak over 250 million words, and a woman over 600 million words. There will be an accountability the day of judgment. Now, that seems kind of like, oh, well, that sounds ridiculous. That no, God knows every hair on your head, every word that we say. And if God is saying that every word, that means every word that we say is important to God. Let me just read that again. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account therefore in the day of judgment." Every word will come back. Maybe to haunt us or rejoice for, but every word is important to God. I say all this as simply as a way to intro to the 10 points. Let's take a look at point number one. God created communication, but man perverts it and uses it sinfully. God created it. God created communication. See, you've got to think, God could have done all types of things the way we should communicate. God created this type of communication that we have, but man perverts it and uses it sinfully. You know, if you take a look at some of the ways we communicate right now, if we look at newspapers, if we looked at magazines that we have right now, the things that you can get, do you know what? Think of the things that could be in those articles right now that could be to glorify God. But instead, look what can be. Look at some of the magazines that are out there that are wicked and vile that man has come up with. See, first of all, we come up with a way and say, let's communicate, and then it doesn't take long before God just takes it to a level that's just absolutely hideous and vile. Look at the internet. I remember when the internet came out. I mean, so wow, isn't that something? The internet, it could be used in such a miraculous way. And it's not that it isn't. Right now, we're using the internet in a great way. But unfortunately, just like we have this in a great way, there is a way more of an abundance of things that is wicked and vile about the internet. It doesn't take long before you can push a couple buttons and you'll be in some place that you really shouldn't be. Now, where did that come from? From sinful man that said, hey, we're going to do this in the internet. YouTube could be a great thing, a great avenue for God, and instead it can be a great avenue in the area of sin. TV. Listen, when it comes to TV, we can sit there and talk about all different things on TV, but I'll tell you where it's getting to right now. Let's look at TV this way. You know, there's a lot of people that sit there and say, and you've seen it change in the last 5 years or so, but you can look at TV and say, hey, CNN or Fox, you watch something. Now, it's getting to the point of communication where it doesn't make a difference if you're conservative, if you're liberal or whatever. All you're going to hear is nothing but two groups bashing each other. That's what we're hearing all the time. That's the communication we're getting. It doesn't always have to be vile that way. It doesn't always have to be the most wicked thing. But what we hear is nothing but people cutting people down and people saying, this is wrong. They're wrong, we're right, and that's what we can get. Now, there is definitely a lot of vile and wicked things that you can see on TV. Movies, obviously there's no doubt about that. In the area of us, gossip. I'll talk more about gossip later, but gossip's a big thing too. God created communication, but we perverted it in the point of gossip. God never wanted us to sit there and gossip about people. That was never the intent, but we do. Here's something I found amazing, too. Something as simple as going right down the street. You can go to the drugstore. You can go to the Albert Center, wherever, and you know what you'll find? Let's just go get a greeting card for somebody. You can't even go to the greeting cards right now without having things that are XXX kind of thing. Something as simple as a greeting card to say happy birthday to somebody, and they have all versions, and some things are so wicked and vile that you know what? You can't have your kids go and say, oh, pick out a card. It's just horrible. In the area of a greeting card, something that, as simple as that, man has perverted it. And that's a communication. That's a form of communication. I'm going to give a thank you card. I'm going to give this. I'm going to give that in a card. And I think as simple as that, and we see the example. Well, if you turn to Genesis, it's something that we've read before in Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read a little bit about a Tower of Babel. In chapter 11, verse 1, we're going to just take a look about how communication started and where it went to. But Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth. Here is an example of people that went there and said, we're going to build this city and this great tower in the name of us. We're going to build this and make a name for us, not of God. And they did unimaginable things. That's what they were doing. And God said, because of that fact, I am now going to take that language away from you. I'm now going to sit there and say, you will not be of one language, because you have now taken something that could be done for my name, and you've done something wicked with this, and you wanted to honor and glorify yourself. So because of that fact, because you perverted something, we will now scatter you and change the language around where you wouldn't even understand one another. That's how it started. That's how communication started, because that's not what communication was. says here in A, we live in a day when mankind is filled with wicked imaginations and filthy communication. Without a doubt, that's where we live. It was that way thousands of years ago on the Tower of Babel, and it hasn't changed all the way to this point now. We live in that day filled with wicked imagination and filthy communication. B, you must realize that when you participate in filthy communication, you are displeasing God and abusing His purpose for your words. See, it takes two to communicate. One thing is you've got to actually communicate. One way is you've got to do the communicating. But there is also a way where you take in communication. See, it's not always about the fact you go, well, I don't do that. I don't say those things. I'm not one to do that. Yeah, but if you're one that participates in listening or looking at communication, first you've got to listen to it. If Mr. Roberts, you started communicating to me, I am now being a partaker to your communication. You're communicating and I'm taking in that communication from what he's saying. So it makes a difference. If I'm watching something on TV, that's communicating to me. If I'm going to a movie theater, that's communicating to me. Wherever that is, there's a communication that goes both ways. It's not just you being the communicator, but it's also communication back to you. So you've got to look at that both ways and what we do. That's why it's important to say, because sometimes we can say, well, listen, I'm not one to say anything. I don't say anything vile or that. I don't do that. Yeah, but unfortunately, we partake in some things in a communication style that would be. And we have to look at that and analyze our lives that way. Number two, God's purpose for communication is His glory and the edification of others. That's the purpose. God's purpose for communication is His glory and the edification of others. That's the purpose of why we should be communicating. God gave communication skills to His creatures for two basic purposes. The first purpose of all communication is glorify God. That's the first purpose. We are to glorify God. In Romans 15:6, it says that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. With our mouth we should glorify Him. In Psalm 63:3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Our lips, we should be praising Him. That's what we should be doing, glorifying Him and praising Him. That's what we should be doing. The word glorify means to make glorious or to magnify or enlarge. That's what the word glorify means, to magnify or enlarge. In other words, we are to make God look good. Our life right now, if we're saved, is to make God look good. It's our life and our communication. That means what comes out of our mouth, what our lifestyle is in communication, all of that should glorify God and make Him look good. Also, on the other hand, it's what we take in. That means what we're looking at, where we're going, that any type of communication that's coming our way, we should be thinking, I'm doing this and I'm here to make God look good. I mean, if you're in a place where it wouldn't make God look good, then you shouldn't be there. If you're sitting someplace where you're watching a movie that's not going to make God look good, then you shouldn't be sitting there watching it. You know, those are the things you've got to be thinking about. It's not just you sitting there saying, well, I'm not saying it, but yet we can be places that we shouldn't be because it's not glorifying God. We need to make God look good. We represent Jesus Christ in all that we do, in all that we say, in where we go, in what we listen to. All of those things are ways that we should glorify Him. We'll listen to things, too, sometimes that we go, that's a communication, too, that we have to be careful with. These are areas we are to glorify God. That's the number one purpose. The second purpose of all communication is edify others. Now, that hit me, to edify others. In Romans 14:19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make of peace and things wherewith one may edify another. The question is, what does edify mean? Well, the word edify means to purposefully cause someone to go forward or to build up. We are purposefully causing someone to go forward. I'm helping someone to go forward or to build them up. That's what edifying means. That's what we should be doing. We should be edifying people and building them up. See, we do not belong to ourselves. We do not have the right to use our thoughts, our tongues, or our words in a way that does not fulfill God's purpose. We should be edifying people. Do you know what? This is a great night for that. You know what's tough on a Wednesday night? Tough on a Wednesday night is the middle of the week. You're out in the world getting bashed all the time, dealing with people that aren't saved. You're dealing with people that are struggling. You're dealing with that. And the thing is, you're getting hit and hit and hit. And you come here and you know what you want? You want to be edified. You want to be built up. And you know one way to help doing that? You go to somebody and help build them up. See, too many times we'll sit there and go, man, someone build me up. Okay, someone will build you up. But have you gone around and you help build somebody up? Or do you sit down and say, oh, I just need someone to build me up? Sometimes we need a little building up. But I'll tell you what's going to build you up is to go to somebody else that's struggling and you build them up. See, we'll get in the habit sometimes, and I know that's this convicts me. We'll go to the habit sometimes. We'll just shake hands and say, hi, how are you doing? How are you? Oh, hi, how are you doing? Peter, how are you? Peter's doing good. I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Sherry goes, I'm doing good. And you know what? That's it. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not building up. That's cordial. Mr. Reese, how are you doing? Doing good. Good. That's not building up. That's simply being cordial and saying hi. That's it. Hi. But are we building up? Are we encouraging and moving forward? People need that. That takes time. That takes a little bit of stopping and talking. How is it going? What can I do for you? Things going good? How's work? Is it tough? What's happened? Can I pray for you? I mean, it takes a little bit of effort there. You've got to understand, number one, you got to glorify God. But number two, we should be edifying. Now, too many times we'll be sitting in our easy chair and we'll be sitting back saying, entertain me on the TV or entertain me on the computer or entertain me. But God says, that's nothing in there about that. He's saying, no. No, you should be edifying people. That's what you should be doing. That's what we need to be doing is edifying people and building people up. When was the last time we built somebody up or encouraged somebody? When was the last time you encouraged, built up your spouse? When was the last time with your kids? When was the last time with a member of the church? When was the last time you're a co-worker or someone that you said, I'm going to build them up. I'm going to take time to help and encourage that person. I want to take time and let them know I care for them. It's just two things. One is to glorify Him. The second thing is to edify people. That caught me very hard. Number three, God stresses that words carry an extreme power for good or for bad. God stresses that words carry an extreme power for good or for bad. For example, sometimes when we read, if you do something if you're not quite accurate, let me just read this little story I found. A woman who traveled abroad without her husband got to Paris and found this fabulous bracelet she'd been looking for. She sent a wire back home saying, I found this beautiful bracelet. One I've been looking for all my life. It only costs $7,500. Do you think I can buy it? Her husband wired back a short but firm reply. No, price too high. And he signed his name. But in the transmission, the comma was left out and the message read, no price too high. Oh, she was thrilled as she bought the bracelet. Omitting the comma almost put this guy in a coma. So, words carry a lot of weight. And if it's not done right, it can cause even more weight. But words carry a special weight. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen to that. Your tongue is death or life is brought up in the same context as the tongue. It has that much power. Death and life. Well, that's no different than I read from Jeremiah about an arrow. Has no difference in the fact that it can cause severe pain. See, I have it right now. Right now, I could go and I could be in a great, great encouragement to people. At this moment, I could go down. I could go to Bill and I could take time and build Bill up. I mean, to the point where he could probably walk out and say, man, I feel so good. Amazingly. At the same time, though, I could go there and I could tear Bill down. Tear him apart. Tear him apart where he'd walk out just feeling about, wow, man, I'm about down. I can't handle anything. The power of what you say in a word can be just that strong. That's why gossip is so bad. That's why gossip can be such a terrible thing. Proverbs 25:18 says, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul. That's a club. And a sword. And a sharp arrow. You know, there's no or in here. He says, someone that does that is like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now listen to that. Now take this. Don't just listen to this as if you're just words. He's comparing this to a sword. Well, what does a sword do? Man, that can hurt. If I went to Bill and I gave Bill a knife and say, here you go. Now the next time you sit there and you say something bad about Mr. Allen, why don't you take the knife and just stab him with it? Because that's about what you're doing when you're gossiping or saying something about somebody or something wicked about that. Or if you're saying something, hey, Jamie, come here, let me tell you something about Rick. And you're sitting there gossiping about it. You might as well just take him and stab the guy. That's what it's saying. It's like you took a knife, a sharp object, and you stabbed somebody. Now, that's what happens when we use our words in a wrong way. When we gossip about people and we say things about people, they compare it to that. So that's pretty harsh. But that's truth. That's Bible truth. We've got to be careful about what we say. Because he says it compares it to a sharp arrow. Think about it the next time you go and say, well, you know what, I just didn't. Well, let me tell you about it. Well, let me just. Well, just come here. It's like you're sharpening it up. Let me just sharpen this up before I stab it. And you sit there and say, that's what you're doing though. That's what you're doing. It's like a sharp arrow. And we shouldn't do it. God gave us the written word because it's better than seeing Jesus in person, if you think about it. You know, when you look at God's word and we see this, God gave us this for a reason. He gives the written word. He gives written word. Why? Because he said this is what would be better for you if you had the written word here. It is a living word, but it's written for us to look at, to examine. Let me talk to you about the power of the Bible and the power of this word and how the power of our words. Let me tell you about how this was done. How we got this Bible in our hands. Before there was a printing press, there were manuscripts that were done by hand. Before this came about, before we sit there here where we find them in the lost and found all stacked, before you find them all over the place, before we got this from a printing press, they were done by hand. Imagine manuscripts done by hand. Let me just read to you a little bit about how our manuscript for the Bible was done. In writing the manuscript, scribes labored over the Hebrew text. They counted not only the sentences, but each word and each letter. If they detected the slightest error, even the miswriting of a single letter, it was their duty to destroy at once the page upon which that error appeared. They would just toss it out then. They spoke aloud each word before writing it. So if I took some of these I just said, so before he read it, he'd say, death, and he'd write it. And write it. Life, every word they would say before they would write it. They would wipe their pen or whatever they were using, they would wipe it off before writing the name of God or Jehovah. So if they came across in the manuscript that, they would stop. They'd have to wipe it off to make sure it was clean because they didn't want anything else from any other word that was there before they would write this. This is what the scribes did for the manuscripts to get us to where we are right now. When a new manuscript is done, and it would be compared with the original, if only one wrong word were discovered, the entire copy was rejected. Not the page then. If they were done, said, completed, and then someone found an error, that entire thing was trashed. And you think, why would they go to all that sense? Well, listen to this. This was said about the scribes. For the scribes, they said, take heed how thou doest thy work, for thy work is the work of heaven. Lest thou drop or add a letter of the manuscript, and so become a destroyer of the world. They took this so seriously when they wrote that. The manuscript, they didn't want to be responsible for changing one thing. Of course, nowadays that's not the case, is it? Now there's how many different versions? But when they originally came, they took those manuscripts by hand and painstakingly made sure there wasn't an error in that. How important is the written word? How important is the written word for you? It's your communication to people. God wanted to make sure His written word held the test. But yet for us, we'll do a written word and we'll write something out, not thinking twice about it. Sometimes we'll write things that totally would be wrong to do. We'll say things we shouldn't. The power is amazing in the written word. This Bible contains everything we need to know to be saved. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was dead, buried, rose again 3 days later, seen by hundreds, is now sitting in heaven waiting for us. Yet, with that, listen to this when we're talking about communication, though. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy what? Mouth. The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Communication. God wants us to communicate to him. God wants us to communicate, glorify him, edify one another, and that's how you get saved. It's the fact that it's just not simply I'm saved, it's the fact that we have to confess with our mouth. Communicate to him. Say that. If you've never done that, you need to do that. Because that's how we get saved, is confessing to God with our mouth. And that's what we need to do. Confess with our mouth. The written words are the powerful expression of the inner heart. The written word are the powerful expression of the inner heart. Tell you what, we got God's inner heart right here in this book. That's what we have. And you know that too. If you have a loved one that's ever written you something, a card, you kind of keep that. You'll look it over. You'll read it over a few times. And they say this and they say that. When people give cards or something, the written word is powerful. It's powerful. And it's the way we communicate. It's the way God communicates. God stresses that words carry an extreme power for good and for bad. Number four, God commands us to avoid all corrupt communication. God commands us to avoid all corrupt communication. God described bad communications in the verses that you have below right there. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:29. The word corrupt literally means rotten or worthless. That's what that means. Basically, let no rotten or worthless communications proceed out of your mouth. But what? That we should edify. There we go again. Once again, what are we supposed to do? Don't have anything corrupt, but to edify. That's what should come out of our mouth. In Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. In Colossians 3, 8 and 9, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, a blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The word filthy means vile or shameful. Vile or shameful. That is what we should say. This is what we should be putting off. I'm getting rid of the vile words. I'm getting rid of the shameful words. I'm getting rid of the rotten. I'm getting rid of the worthless. Not only in what we're saying, but what we're taking in communication. Too many times we'll sit and watch that and say, oh, so what if they swear a few times? Oh, who cares about that type of communication? We shouldn't be taking that in. That's rotten, that's worthless, that's vile, and that's shameful. And that's what we're taking in as communication, and we're allowing it. That's not glorifying God, and that's not being His example. That's what we should be doing. God is even concerned that you learn to laugh at the right things. We saw in Ephesians 5, 3, and 4, our joking and our humor. What we laugh at. Oh, that was funny. Some vile joke or something like that. He talks about foolish talking or jesting. One of the most important signs of maturity is your ability to communicate well and to abstain from corrupt communication. That's showing maturity. That's saying, I'm going to abstain from that. I'm not going to be involved in that. Whether it's coming from our actions or it's the actions coming to us. But that's showing maturity in that. You have some things written down I found interesting. Right responses to corrupt communication with people. What are some right responses to corrupt communication? One is this. Just walk away or leave. If you're dealing with corrupt communication, I'm talking about something that's, like they said, rotten, worthless, anything like that, just walk away or leave. Two, refuse to laugh at it. You want to watch someone that sits there and says something and goes, oh, I got something. Oh, is this funny? Let me tell you this joke and tells you the joke. It is vile and you just sit there. You don't laugh. They're going to go, oh. You don't think that's funny? No. No, I don't. That's being mature. Take a stand by asking someone to stop. Just tell them to stop. I don't need to hear that. Stop. I don't need it. Walk away from it. Ask God to cleanse your mind immediately. Just ask Him to cleanse you. Write responses to corrupt communication in places of business. What about in the places of business? One, leave. Eat or shop somewhere else. There's been somewhere where you've asked that. I've done that. I've been in a restaurant where I said, you know what? I said, listen, we're having a group here. Can you get rid of, can the music be turned off here? You gotta remember, that's communication. Get that music playing and blaring that. You know what? Doesn't hurt. Can you turn it off? Can you turn that off, please? Can you just, you know, we'll just go somewhere else. Ask management to turn the music down or TV off. Just ask the management that. Choose a different seat or location. We just did that. We just sat there and said, we're not going to sit there. Can we sit over here? We're not going to be able to sit there. Can we sit over there? Why not? Decide where you want to sit if they want your business. Seek to avoid this place in the future. If it's someplace that just isn't a place where you should be, you're not representing Jesus Christ there, don't go there. Say, I'm not going to go there in the future. And again, ask God to cleanse your mind immediately from that, what you're seeing, what you're witnessing. Just ask God, pray God to cleanse you. Write responses to corrupt communication in media. When it comes to media, just turn it off. You know what? We're always in the habit. Now, we're watching something on TV and stuff. We have TVG, and that's just something that gets rid of the foul language. I'm telling you what, you can have TVG just on TV in general. It's amazing, just any kind of thing that comes on. And we actually get to the point now where we always mute the commercials. It's not about a commercial I need to see anyway. All they want you to do is buy something, do something. I just mute it. But I'll tell you what, they have no problem now swearing here and swearing there. Why do I need to hear that? Why do my kids need to have that? I don't need that. Just turn it off. Two, turn it down. Change the channel. I like this. Determine to value your heart more than you value entertainment. Determine to value your heart more than you value entertainment. Because that's basically what it is. It's just all that does is basically attack your flesh. You're just saying, I like that. My flesh likes that. Well, just determine then in your heart, you're saying that's more important than this entertainment I'm involved in. And get rid of it. That's all communication. That's not good. In conclusion, our communication should glorify God and edify others. That's what we should be doing. Glorifying God and edifying others. This week, I challenge you to edify people. I told my teenagers that same thing. I said, this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to do nothing but edify people. Try that. Just edify people. No matter what comes your way, don't stoop down. Just edify. Just build up, build up, build up, build up. And you tell me whether or not life changes to the point where you say, you know what? This is half empty. Guarantee you, after a while, you go, this is half full. Because when you're building up people and you're building up people and you're telling people this and you're building up, your life all of a sudden is going to feel a whole lot better. You're going to be sitting there feeling a mile high saying, I'm building up, I'm building up, I'm building up, I'm helping this, boy, I'm involved in this, I'm caring for this. All of a sudden, it's not about woe is me anymore. It's not about, man, what about mine, what about this? No, all you're doing is building and building and building and building. You're not walking away just kind of like, man, what a week, man, what this. No, build up people. And if people will build up other people, people will build you up. Start building people up. Smile on your face, build people up. Now, as for glorifying God, we should glorify our God with our life. But here's something to think about. And sometimes you got to go, I don't know. How do I glorify God? Well, you know what? Try this. Just like try a week of glorifying or edifying people. Try this. I've used this. It's called glorifying God, the alphabet attributes of glorifying God. You just take the alphabet and you come up with things. For example, A. I mean, you can come up with your own, but A would be like awesome. What about God? You know what God is? God is awesome. B, God is beautiful. C, God is caring. D, God is divine. E, God is exalted. You just come up with these. So then when you're sitting there and you're glorifying God and you're asking God and you're praying to God, start going through your attributes. Take time and just going, God, you know what? You're so awesome. God, you're beautiful. God, you're so caring to me. Thank you so much for caring for me. You're divine. I exalt you. Just start going through your list. You know, you start going through that. You're holy. You start saying that. Next thing you know, your whole life will change because we're supposed to be glorifying God with our life. We're supposed to be edifying others. The question is, are we doing that in our lives? Or are we thinking more about ourselves and being more involved with the world? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. And I thank you, Father, for an opportunity to look at communication and what communication means your way. Father, we're supposed to be glorifying you. And we're supposed to be edifying others, Father. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own lives and all that's going on. We get so wrapped up in what's going on personally, Father, that we're not thinking of others. We're thinking of ourselves. We're not thinking of you. We're thinking of ourselves. So we're not edifying and we're not glorifying. Father, help us in those areas. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask a couple quick questions. If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and there was a time in your life that with your mouth you confessed to him that you're a sinner and then you need a Savior. If you've done that, if you just raise your hand right now. Amen. You can put your hands down. Maybe there's a time you've never done that. There was not a time where you confessed with your mouth that you actually prayed to God, said, God, Jesus Christ, save me from my sin. That you died on the cross for my sin. You're dead and buried and rose again, proving you are God. Dying for my sin. If you've never done that, if you raise your hand right now, is there someone like that? Pray for you. Looking? I see one hand. Amen. Okay. Let me ask you, Christian, how are you in your communication? How is your communication right now? Are you edifying people? Are you glorifying God? Are you wrapped up, though, too much in the entertainment and being fed communication from this world more than giving God's love out to other people? Maybe with a show of hands, you say, pray for me. I need a little bit more in the area of communication God's way instead of the world's way. If that would be you, if you just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Anyone like that? Amen. Hands everywhere. Okay, put your hands down. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to pray for you. And if you had your hand up and said, I have never confessed with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, at this time of invitation, you can come down here. We'd have someone here that will meet you. And we'll take time from the Bible, take just a few moments to show you how you can know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I pray that you would do that. Why don't we all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? We all stand. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, again, Father, for an opportunity to look at communication. I pray, Father, that you would be with all those that have their hands up. And I pray, Father, that you'd work there in their lives in the area of communications, that you'd guide them, Father, help them in the areas that you know specifically what their struggles are in this world in the area of communication. I pray, Father, that we would glorify you. I pray, Father, these people would edify you also, and we lift that up to you. Father, there was one that had their hand up for salvation. I pray, Father, for the one. I pray, Father, that they'd come down, Father, and they would receive your Son this night, and I thank you for that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the music plays. If you need to come down to the altar, please, why don't you take your business with the Lord this evening?